Hello, this is Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer.
Welcome home.
Soar into tower. We are ready for takeoff.
Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey, it's Amy from DVC Clubhouse.
Hey, Clubbers, it's Scott from DVC Clubhouse.
Hey, it's Kathleen from DVC Clubhouse.
Welcome aboard, it's Phil from DVC Clubhouse.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Debrief Podcast brought to you by DVC Clubhouse. This is Amy, joined with me, as always, by Scott, Kathleen, and Phil. How's it going, guys?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Welcome aboard, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
That's all you got.
Hi. Hey.
She said my name first this time. That was really, that was nice. Hi.
You know, every time we log on, depending on the order that people log in, you appear on my screen in different orders. So.
Oh, that's what it was.
Sometimes. So sometimes I go right to left. Sometimes I go left to right. You know, I try to mix it up a little
bit. I'm just stuck on Doc McCuffins, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You love it.
I enjoyed that when I logged in and saw it. I think Scott likes to be on first so that he can come up with his ridiculous names.
Look, he's maturing. I would like to point out that we can now actually say what names he's chosen on air and not drive away our family-friendly rating.
For today.
For today.
That'll change.
All right, so on today's episode, we are going to have a conversation about our Disney bucket list. Now, over the holidays, Phil and I did a couple of episodes on our Disney wish list, which is different. Not to be confused with our bucket list. Our wish list was more of the things that we wished that Disney would do and things that they would create.
This is all very confusing. We've got the Disney wish, the Disney wish list, the Disney bucket list. And if your bucket list and your wish list is a cruise on the Disney Wish, I get very confused by these.
And if you'd like to see the movie Wish, I know there's a lot of wishing happening.
Confusing.
And there used to be a fireworks show called Wishes. So, you know.
Wishes.
Terrible show.
I just teared up, Phil. So our bucket lists are going to be are the things that already exist that we haven't done that we would like to do. So those are the things that we're going to chat about today. And in full disclosure, I asked everyone before we started recording if anyone knows what they're going to say.
Nope.
Negative.
And the answer was no. So this, we're flying by the seat of our pants here, folks.
Let's
so.
Be honest. When have we ever planned out one of these episodes?
I have a few things on my bucket list.
I mean, I think Kathleen is pretty organized when it comes. Like, she gives some thoughts, takes some notes.
There's a list. Yeah, there's a list. I'm sure somewhere she's got of everything that she
you
would like to
do. You should see my planner for work.
Organized by park and season.
Color-coded.
There's nothing. Yes, it is. There's nothing wrong with that.
When you consider what she does for a living, do you want her just winging it?
No.
Well, this is true. You want somebody who's very meticulous with their note-taking if they are responsible for your care.
Does that say 5 milligrams or 5,000 milligrams? I don't know. Just push it.
Either way.
So there are probably people listening that know that Kathleen has a calendar that she keeps of when everyone is visiting, because since they live in Florida, she likes to know when people are going to be coming so that, you know, she could potentially, if she doesn't have work, or Scott doesn't have work, they can get together with people. And I am actually visiting. I'm going down in 2 days, and I'm going to be staying one night at their house. And I'm looking forward to seeing this calendar in person. It's, you know, it's a thing of legend.
It's not that impressive.
I have it in two spots, actually. I have it on my calendar that I keep in my planner.
She has a mobile calendar.
And then
she
I
takes
have
with
a
her.
Calendar that's in my like pantry area where I write with a dry erase marker.
And then a 10-foot by 10-foot clear dry erase calendar that I had to install.
Like there's like on Thursday it says Amy arrives at Orlando with your flight at what time?
Flight number what airline you're traveling, your seat number.
Wait a minute. Every time I visit, you mysteriously don't appear, and you always say, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot, I didn't write it down. What
That's
the heck?
Not true.
Nope, it's written down, Phil.
So anyway, I just needed to, you know, shout out Kathleen that she probably is the most prepared for some of these episodes. So although she said before she wasn't sure what she was going to say. So, you know, there's a first time for everything, folks.
Being the most prepared, I think she needs to go first.
Well, what else is new? I will go first. All right, my bucket list. I think number one on my bucket list is probably Alani. What?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was a great choice. Keep going. Excellent choice.
I don't know why you're looking at me like that. I would say that's number one. Number two, actually, we're going to be doing in August is our first Disney cruise. So I'm excited about that. Probably another one on the bucket list is going to Hilton Head to stay at that resort. We haven't done that yet. I think once we hit Alani and Hilton Head, we've stayed at all the DVC resorts.
Or Disneyland.
Oh, yes. Count. So Disneyland, we've already talked. Really? Disneyland, we've talked about when we go over to Alani that we were probably going to stop there on the way to Alani or on the way back. So we'll probably do that then. But I think, actually, above all of that, I think that number one has to be a Disney park in probably Paris. Disneyland in Paris.
That's on my short list. I'll give you that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, any of the overseas parks. But I think I would like Paris a lot.
Overseas is on my wish list, but Paris is not number one. I think if you had to look at my short list, it's got to be Tokyo. The pictures out of Tokyo, the merch out of Tokyo, the immersive nature of the lands in Tokyo. You've got a really cool monorail. Tokyo Disney Sea, as far as an immersive land, in my opinion, based on the pictures I've seen, has to be far and away the most impressive land that they have.
I have seen some pictures where Donald Duck is everywhere. And I don't know if it's Tokyo or Hong Kong.
Or the algorithm from Scott constantly on your Facebook with Donald Duck stuff.
No, it's one of them where he's like, it's almost like he's Mickey over there. Like he's number one, definitely over there at one of those parks. And I'm not sure which one it is. Do you know?
He is number one.
Well, I know.
A bunch of the Paris commercials actually focus on the ducks in front of the castle and Donald Duck. So it might be Paris because they've done a number of commercials where he's been front and center.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. But I think those are on my bucket list. And
I was going to say, I'm with Phil. My number one is Tokyo DisneySea. I mean, honestly, if I'm like being completely outlandish and saying a bucket list item that probably will never happen, it's that new adventure by Disney, the private jet.
You get the plane, they take you place to place.
I mean, is that like the coolest thing that you've ever heard in your whole life?
It's like 125,000 a person and it sells out in hours to the Club 33 members before anybody else can get near it. Not that anybody else could afford it, but it's amazing.
It's $114,995. And it's actually available right now.
Oh, never mind. It's not $125. It's $114,999. I'm in.
Well, it's starting at that, isn't it? That the starting price. So I'm sure there's categories and seasonality and all that.
What does that even include?
It's a round the world trip. Private jet. I think you visit all of the Disney parks.
Did you say it's available? Because I always recall it selling out. I thought I had seen that it was completely sold.
This is actually letting me check out. Like, this is one adult, June 16th through July 9th. Sorry, I just did one adult. Yeah, $115,000. Are you a travel agent? No, but I know one.
You just took out a second mortgage on your home.
Yeah, that's... Sorry. Wow. That's a nice bucket list.
Unless I win the lottery or my next husband is filthy, stinking rich. I'm probably just going to be having to do those parks a la carte and fly commercial. So
with quick service in coach.
Yeah, exactly. So, but nothing to complain about. I mean, I would be thrilled to hit up all of the overseas parks. That's for sure.
Are there any overseas parks that you're not excited about, just out of curiosity?
I mean, I think that just from what I've seen when I've watched the, you know, that the show on the Imagineering Beyond, what's it called on Disney Plus?
The Imagineering Story.
It's the other one, Behind the Attraction, maybe is what it's called. Behind and they the talked about the building of the different castles. I think that if I'm recalling correctly, I think Hong Kong Disneyland is probably of the overseas park, the one that I would put on the bottom, because I think it's the one that feels most similar to Disney World, to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's exactly why.
Yeah, all of the others have like a very unique quality about them. So I don't need to go to like a replica. I mean, if I was over there again and had unlimited funds, I would probably add it to my list, but it's not the top. So Scott, you had that app open. Was that your number one?
Yeah, you took it again.
Kathleen ruins everything. You're the worst.
I had that and I had Victoria and Albert's because that, to me, that's a bucket list thing that I want to do. Look at everybody not impressed with my
bucket
list.
No, we're just waiting for Kathleen's face, just having the bread service and nothing else. She's looking at you like, you can do that one by yourself. Yeah. And I'll take the plane to all the world parks.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, if you're gonna do something for one, that's the one that you should be booking alone.
I mean, he mentioned it the other day when we were at the Grand Floridian, and I said, hey, if you want to waste all that money on me going, I'll go. I'll get all dressed up and fancy and go eat some bread. And he's like, oh, they wouldn't serve anything bad there.
I'm sure it has
I'm
to
sure,
be.
Like, I'm sure it's not good. Bad. It's just not for me.
I think that if you called ahead and said that you had one very picky eater that doesn't eat, you know, the list of things that you don't like shrimp and whatever else is on that list, they would
tell you not to come.
No, they would make something for you to eat. I mean, you might not like it, but I think they would try at least.
Well, that's an option.
An all white meat, non-hormonal chicken breast.
Breaded lightly, deeply fried.
Japanese panko crusted.
Where'd you go, Kathleen?
It would be nice to try. I would just feel bad. I don't want to offend anybody when I'm there.
Well, we should all get together and go to Vicky and Albert's. You guys in?
I love it, so I would do it again for sure.
Yeah, I'm in. Let's do it.
All right, done. It's on the list.
What do I get if I try caviar?
What do you get?
Yeah. Caviar.
Yeah.
Do I get a special prize?
Most people want to try the caviar. She wants to know what she gets if
like
she
one
tries.
One of my kids. Well, what do I get if I clean my room? You get to continue living here.
The $200 per ounce delicacy. What do I get? Congratulations is what you get.
Or maybe you get a video of you going viral on the internet from eating it, depending on how it goes.
That's probably it right there. So is that your only bucket list?
You said Alani. I think I can't wait to go to Alani. That's definitely a bucket list. Amy mentioned the Around the World Adventures by Disney. They have other destinations too. They have Africa, Central, South America, specific locations like that I would love to go visit. And then, like you said, in August, we're doing our first Disney cruise, but I really want to try out the newest Disney Treasure.
We are.
Apparently we are.
It's not booked yet, but...
Well, soon I can check that off my bucket list, but for sure, I want to do that. And I don't know, you said the other parks around the world. I think Disneyland Paris is probably my number one that I'd like to go and visit. But I'm trying to think of things like closer to Walt Disney World, like something within Florida, Walt Disney World that I would like to do. And I'm, you know, the Victoria and Albert's thing was like the only thing that I could really think of. Maybe stay overnight in a wilderness lodge cabin instead of just being invited for an evening.
Oh, a cabin at Copper Creek? Oh, you're talking about the cabins at Fort Wilderness. Oh.
No, I was talking about the real cabin. the big one.
Yeah, the actual deluxe cabin is what he's talking about.
Yeah, the one that's not actually a cabin, but like a luxury.
Yes.
A luxury tiny home.
They also have the Roman shades, but it just requires a push of a button to operate those. No milking a cow for 2 hours solid.
You know, I feel like since we've posted that video, I see it now all the time. People talking about those blinds at Old Key West. It's just, maybe it's the algorithm, but it makes me laugh every time. So speaking of Disney Cruise.
I never knew they were like that. Sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead. I was still talking about the stupid blinds. Go ahead.
So speaking of the Disney Cruise, that's actually a bucket list that I'm currently working through. Emma, my 16-year-old, after we sailed on the Wish a year ago, she just fell in love with Disney Cruise and Disney Cruise Line and the Teens Club. And she said to me, you know, I'd really love to be able to go to all of the teen clubs on all of the ships before I turn 18. And so I made that my mission. Sorry to my daughter, Allie, but not really sorry because she didn't really enjoy the cruise as much as Emma did. So it definitely makes it much more affordable for me to be just me and Allie. And I mean, the problem with Allie is that she is not 21 and she's not a teenager. So she's within that like 3 year age group that really is not great for Disney cruises because you're too old for the teen club, but you're too young really for the adult areas. So I've made it my mission to make Emma's dream come true. And it's helpful because now that Allie is in college, when I travel with her, it's nice for her to go on the Disney cruise and be able to, you know, go to the teen club and have people her age to hang out with. Otherwise, it's just the two of us and it's fine. But I mean, that's pretty much how we live our lives. It's the two of us. So it's nice for her to be able to meet people and hang out with people her age on vacation. So we did the Disney Wish last April. Then we just did the Dream in November. I'm doing the Magic, which I've sailed on, but it will be Emma's first time on the Magic when we sail in August with Kathleen and Scott and a couple of other clubbers in the Facebook group. Doing the Fantasy in November, and then next April doing the Treasure. And then the following August doing the Wonder, doing an Alaska cruise on the Wonder. Now, Disney kind of threw me off when they announced that they were going to be, that the new ship, the Destiny, is going to be sailing in 2025. But I believe that that one will probably sail after Emma turns 18. So I think that our Disney Cruise Line bucket list will end with like the, you know, the existing six ships, well, five ships plus the Treasure. So that is a bucket list that I am currently working on, and it's been fun.
It sounds awesome.
Those ship names are pretty cool. I don't know who comes up with those names, but like, you know how they come up with like, it says Wish and Treasure. Any ideas for what the next one should be named?
Well, I mean, they announced the cruise ship that they bought, that they are converting, the one that's over, going to be over in Asia. That one I think is the Adventure. And then the new one, which is going to be the third in the Triton class, which is the same layout, the same type of ship as the Wish and the Treasure. That one's going to be the Destiny. I don't know what's coming beyond those. But I've become a little bit addicted to Disney cruises. So, and doing an Alaska cruise overall, regardless of it being Disney, is a bucket list for me. So somebody in the group who is a big cruiser said that I should do an Alaska cruise not on Disney, but Emma really wants to go on the Wonder. So I'm killing two birds with one stone there.
What sets a Disney cruise apart from other cruise lines?
Well, Disney cruises are just, I think, far more family friendly and have less kind of, I think, less like nightlife. And I'm not sure exactly why he said that I should do a non-Disney cruise. I don't know if it's because some of the other cruise lines have ships that are temperature controlled. Like my sister just sailed from New York in March to the Caribbean, and they have a whole like pool complex that's indoors. It's, you know, like it's surrounded by glass so you can see out, but you can lay out and not be outside when it's cold. So I don't know if that's what they do for the Alaska cruises. I don't know. I mean, I think that the Disney cruise ships were designed in the style of like classic ocean liners. These cruise ships now are like cities and amusement parks set afloat on the ocean. So I just think that the aesthetic and what and the offerings on board are, they are, they vary pretty widely.
We did what, a Norwegian?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited for the Disney cruise. I'm really excited for this.
I'm like the anti-Disney fan. I have zero desire to go to Aulani, and I have zero desire to go on any cruise, even a Disney cruise.
You know, Aulani was one for me that I thought I would probably end up never doing because I kind of was of the mindset that if I was going to go to Hawaii again, I would want to go to Kauai and Maui and like maybe the Big Island, that I wouldn't really want to go and spend time on Oahu. And then COVID happened and I canceled a trip to Disneyland. And all of a sudden I had all of these points and I needed to use them. And I had already been going to Disney for long weekends. So it just, it kind of made sense. And Disneyland hadn't reopened. So, and the other part of it was that my Disneyland trip, I had booked on Alaska Airlines. And there are very few places that you can fly on Alaska Airlines from the East Coast. So I was able to get to Hawaii. So I was like, I might as well use these points and use this Alaska Airlines credit now from this trip and just bang it out. So we did it. And, you know, I really enjoyed it. I mean, I don't know that I would, if I was going to Hawaii again, I don't know that Aulani would be like my priority, but I would definitely maybe stay two nights there, two or three nights there, because it's actually located in a pretty like centrally located place on the island where you can get to a lot of the island attractions like within like 20 to 30 minutes. That was a fun trip.
I think for me, it's number one, just the whole cruising idea. First, it's on a boat. Been there, done that every day. I don't like vacationing on other people's itinerary. And the times I have been on a cruise, I didn't like the scheduling aspect of it. Some of my favorite trips, whether it be domestically or overseas, I like to just go and kind of pick my days as they come. You know, I walked around Europe for three straight weeks, just one day at a time, and just picked the next thing I was going to do. Some days I grabbed a camera, backpack, and set out at 7 a.m. and didn't come home until the next day. I just kind of was winging it. And then as far as Hawaii goes, our feeling has always been if we're going to fly that far, I want to keep going. I don't want to stop at Hawaii. I want to do New Zealand. I want to go to Australia. I want to put in that extra little bit of time and go just a little further afield than Hawaii.
My friend Linda, who Scott and Kathleen have met, and Linda was, in fact, Scott's Secret Santa the first year we did Secret Santa on Clubhouse.
Oh, you spoiled the secret. Good job.
This was two Christmases ago. It's fine. Her husband is a captain on those, you know, those like freight ships that bring those big containers like overseas. And they did a Disney cruise once. And she said that he was like in a dead sleep. And in the middle of the night, he just like sat up and then went back to sleep. And the next day, the captain said that they had to make like a sudden turn or something because of something. And he, in his sleep, could feel that the ship had changed direction, and it like startled him awake. Because I mean, when it's your job, you have to, you know, I guess you're vigilant all the time, even when you're sleeping. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. The stuff I operate is much smaller than the bigger ships, but I've always said that my dream job at Disney has to do with their water transportation, but I can't ride it comfortably when we're there, because I'm on their boats judging everything they do, and especially everything they do wrong. And my wife has to settle me down on a regular basis because I'm just losing my mind.
It's funny because that's his dream job for when he retires. He wants to go down there and he wants to drive the Disney boats.
Yeah, I just want to drive the little launches. I think we're going to do an episode about this at some point of what our dream Disney jobs would be, so I won't get into it. But I'm very specific even in which boats I want to drive.
That could be a bucket list item. Is that something we could include in this episode, or would you like to talk about it?
I think it deserves its own episode, because okay, I think we could get pretty deep into the jobs we'd like to do there and why. We've touched upon it in okay, a bunch of episodes.
All right, so next time we'll talk about our dream Disney jobs.
Next time. So I'll delve into my list a little bit. Again, because of what I do for a living, when I can visit is so specific to the dates, just because my business is very seasonal. I would love to have, and I'm very specific about this, I want to be there for the 4th of July fireworks. I do not want to be in the parks. I want to have a view from a balcony at the Grand Floridian to watch the fireworks with the music piped in. I don't want to be on the beach with the masses. I don't want to be in the park with the masses. I want to wake up and have a resort-only day for the 4th of July, enjoy the pools, relax, enjoy the hot weather, then go up to my room, take a shower, have food delivered up to us, and just spread out on the balcony overlooking Seven Seas Lagoon and watch that amazing fireworks show for the 4th of July. That would be so high on my bucket list only because I specifically cannot be there for that time of year, so I would love to see it and experience it.
Is that the one that we watched from Bay Lake?
Yeah, Tom, one of the members of the group, he owns points at Bay Lake Tower. We won't tell you how many points he owns. He pretty much owns a Bay Lake Tower. But he usually gets a room every year on 4th of July, theme park view. So the past couple years, he's invited us up there to watch the 4th of July fireworks.
Those are the panoramic fireworks? Like the, you guys know what I mean? Like they go all around the park?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is one heck of a show.
I've never been there for 4th of July.
4th of July to me, just for years, has been nonstop straight work. It's the longest day I've ever put in. I actually can't say it publicly because I've probably violated some federal manning requirements, but it is just nonstop work. It's one of our busiest weekends of the year. We put our head down, we go, and just hope for the best. So to be able to relax and watch a fireworks show, especially at Disney, and just enjoy a pool day would, to me, be the penultimate day at Disney that I could just never experience otherwise.
Yeah, we went last year. Did we go the year before, too? I think we did. And then he has it booked for this year as well.
So something for me, and this has to do with the cabins, and really the cabins is like the only thing that would make this possible for me, the cabins at Fort Wilderness, is that I've always wanted to take an extended stay at Disney and, you know, stay for like 3 weeks and just kind of hang out there all of that time. But really, I would have only been able, you know, to really get a long stay with the number of points I have. It would have had to have been like Old Key West or a Saratoga Springs studio. And that's not really what I'm talking about. I want to be able to have a kitchen and a living space. So the cabins at Fort Wilderness would definitely give me the flexibility to be able to afford it from a points perspective, like some September, just go down there.
Well, and being able to grill out is the only thing that makes it affordable food-wise. You couldn't afford to eat on Disney property for 3 straight weeks. You'd need a second mortgage just for that.
Yeah, well, that's why you'd have to have a kitchen. So, I mean, otherwise you'd be eating, like, you know, Kraft mac and cheese in a microwavable cup every day.
Kathleen's okay with this.
That's something that, you know, I don't know that I'll ever end up doing it, but it's something that I've always kind of thought, you know, that would be fun. It would be fun to have a long extended stay down there where you can just, and now that for the most part, park reservations are not really a thing, you can, and it's not a thing after two, you can just kind of wake up and do whatever you want without needing to be thinking, you know, where am I going to eat? What parks am I going to go to? You just kind of wake up and treat it like it's your neighborhood and go where the wind takes you that day. That, and then also I would really, I mean, I think at some point I'm going to make it a bucket list to stay in every grand villa on property.
See, I'm surprised you didn't say that, Scott, because I know that's one of your bucket lists.
Well, I was going to say that, but I just kind of want to do Grand Floridian.
I thought your number one was Bay Lake.
Oh, Bay Lake, because I like the windows. But like what Phil said with, you know, just staying in the resort one day and watching the fireworks, I think those grand villas over at Bay Lake, those are hard to beat.
Right. Don't those have the two floors and the windows stretching across? Can you imagine what the view to the theme park would be just sitting inside there in the grand villa with that two-story window in front of you watching the fireworks? That's a great idea.
Bay Lake gets a lot of shade thrown at it, but that... three-bedroom grand villa, that is probably up there.
Well, we're going to the three of us, me, Kathleen, and Scott, are going to check two off of our list this year because we've got the Animal Kingdom Lodge Jumbo House Grand Villa that we're staying at, and then also the Old Key West grand. Oh no, that's a two bedroom. Never mind.
It's a two bedroom.
I got excited and now I just burst my own bubble. Wah, wah.
Amy has actually experienced one that's on my list, and we just talked about the larger rooms, the grand villas. I would love to spend 8 or 10 days in those cottages at Boardwalk to just have that mm-hmm. remove. You're still at Boardwalk. You've still got access to everything there, but you're just far enough removed from the actual resort that it feels like your own little fairy tale place to the backside. I would love to do an extended stay, not just a night, not just two, really put roots down in that building for an entire week or more. I think would just be a fantastic vacation, a place to go and hide and still have access to anything you want from the location of Boardwalk.
Yeah, it is so cute back there. And then there's a quiet pool back there. So you've got a pool right there. It is kind of like having a idyllic little neighborhood that you live in for a little while. And now that the ESPN club is no longer there, you don't have those flashing lights at night. Because that was the one thing, was that those, you know, those, the running lights were a factor. I mean, depending on the type of person you are, it might not bother you. But I know that for some people, they felt like that was annoying. But now that those are not there, you don't even have to deal with that. So those are really cute.
If you guys had to pick between...
I was going
to
say... You know, I'd like to stay at a bungalow. And I know a lot of people kind of think that the bungalows might be a little bit overrated. Too many points for how close they are to the bungalow next to you. Lots of bugs and mosquitoes outside in that, you know, that plunge pool that they have. But I can't help but think that it wouldn't be amazing to just, like, on a hot day, be sitting in that plunge pool watching the fireworks. Like, that's got to be fun.
That's what I was going to ask. If you had to pick, not had to pick, but if you could pick between a bungalow, a cabin, or a grand villa, say somewhere at, like, Grand Floridian, which one would you pick?
I mean, because I've stayed at a cabin.
The Grand Villa just threw it for me.
What'd you say, Phil?
What's that?
The Grand Villa just threw me off. If he was going to say the bungalow or the Copper Creek cabin, as much as I love Polynesian, to me, there's no competition. I think the cabins at Copper Creek are just so amazing that I would have to take that over a bungalow. But now you're throwing in the Grand Villa at somewhere like Grand Floridian. That's just a whole other level of fancy. I'm not sure which I would pick between the two, to be honest with you. That's a tough call.
I would probably pick the Grand Villa. I want to stay at a bungalow, but I want to stay at least one time.
Grand Floridian has a media room. If you get one at Riviera, you get the whole hallway.
And a pool table, right? Don't they have a pool table in that Grand Villa?
Jumbo
has a pool table.
I was going to say, we're talking about Grand Villas and bungalows and stuff, but I think one thing that I really wanted to do that I've always wanted to do, maybe it's not like probably hard to do, but those tree houses at Saratoga.
Oh, yeah.
I've always wanted to stay at one of those too.
I have friends that have done it and they loved it. I think the one thing you have going for you is you can drive in. And the one problem with those tree houses at Saratoga is that if you don't have a rental car or you don't drive, you are so far removed from everything. It makes it very difficult to move back and forth. You can't do that the same as you would at almost any other resort where you have immediate access to bus service or internal loops. Those are very different out there, but they're very cool. I've looked at them multiple times.
They sleep 12, 10? They're pretty big.
A lot.
Yeah, they're pretty big. And fairly cheap, too, on the points.
I need to look it up now because does it sleep as many as a Grand Villa?
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now.
I want to say it was like
at least 9.
Yeah, I was thinking
I
9.
I want to say 9 or 10, and the points are only like 40 points.
I have a friend who did it just before Christmas this year, and they actually brought in a Christmas tree. Relatives that came and stayed with them. Matter of fact, you guys have probably seen them on the page. I do another podcast with them from time to time. They had a great time. They turned it into a resort-only stay with just Christmas party tickets. They brought in board games. Grandmother and grandfather came down, mom and dad were there, the two girls, aunt and uncle, and they just basically did a little mini Christmas the week before Christmas only in that cabin, and they had a great time.
That's something that I'd really like
maybe
to do.
Maybe a future clubhouse weekend.
Is I would really love to do a Copper Creek cabin at Christmas time and have a week there, get a tree, not really make it parks heavy, just kind of have like a family vacation. You know, me and my girls, maybe invite like my sister and her family. That would be something that I think would be really, really special. I know Gina in the Facebook group, she has gotten a tree at Copper Creek, and it just, that's really the thing that made me be like, oh my gosh, I have to do this, because it just looked so pretty. I think that resort just really lends itself to Christmas. And somebody just posted the question, I think somebody posted the question on the Facebook group about going to Disney in the winter, I think the week after like all of the Christmas and holidays, and where they should stay. And, you know, my response was to stay at Wilderness Lodge, because I think anytime you go during, and they're not making it a hardcore parks trip. I just think anytime you're going to be there when it's cooler weather, being at Wilderness Lodge and like around the holiday time, and they might mm-hmm. catch the tail end of the tree being up, that's the way to go for me.
So it sleeps, the treehouse sleeps up to nine people.
Makes sense. Yeah, Amy, we did Copper Creek 2 years ago, the week before Christmas, and it was a lot of fun. We had, you know, one of the bigger, you know, one, or I think it was a one bedroom in Copper Creek. We were able to decorate the door in non-marking, non-destructive ways for anybody that has their head exploding right now. The kids decorated inside. You had the tree in the lobby, the fire going. It was a little cooler that trip. It is without a doubt, I think every deluxe resort at least does a great job at decorating. But you're right, there's just something about being inside of Wilderness Lodge at Christmas that's different. It's just different than all the other resorts. And I think maybe, as I think about it, Beach Club, Yacht Club, Boardwalk, Polynesian, they all do great Christmas. Grand Floridian does an amazing Christmas display in the lobby, but they're all so crowded. And as much as those in the know do visit Wilderness Lodge at Christmas, it's just far enough removed that you don't have the massive crowds in there. Then you throw in the fire and the rustic feel of it all, you know, the whole national park feel that it gives. I think all those things together are what just make it the winner for Christmas time.
And if you stay in Boulder Ridge, that lobby is amazing too at Christmas time. Like mm-hmm. they do such a great job over there, which is not the case at Grand Floridian. The Villas building is underwhelming for at Christmas time. In fact, you know, I would say that I think that Beach Club, if you're going to stay in a Villas building, the Beach Club Villas building does a better job than the Grand Floridian Villas building at Christmas time.
Oh, and they have lights by the quiet pool. Don't forget that, Amy.
Well, they didn't this year because it was under refurb, which was like a huge disappointment for me, because I had talked about it and was looking forward to it. And oh, what a letdown. But
Boulder Ridge does everything right. The last time we stayed there was before the refurb, and it was clear the room was tired and it was dated and it needed to be redone. But someone asked me this question, I think it was just 2 or 3 days ago, about which I would prefer, Copper Creek or Boulder Ridge. And for me, it's Boulder Ridge all day long. It's just got a better feel. You can walk over to the quiet pool. It's quiet. Those views across Bay Lake are amazing, even compared to the main building. I would take Boulder Ridge 10 times out of 10 over Copper Creek. I love it over there.
Yeah, I own a Copper Creek, and I agree with you. I mean, I've said this before, but the only reason why I bought a Copper Creek instead of Boulder Ridge was because of the expiration date.
All right, I'll go again. So my wife and kids are probably going to scream when they hear this because it's completely exclusionary. But I have two bucket list items, and I'm sorry, Emily, this is not personal. I would love to just take the kids individually, one at a time, down for a 3 or 4 day trip. Just pop one of them on a plane, fly down, and do anything they want to do that's specific to them. And then the next time, take the other child down and just do anything they want to do that's specific to them. We could go down with Mackenzie and just make it Little Ride and Princess specific and Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique and anything she wanted to do, just make it a bucket list trip for her, and take Luke down and do anything he wants to do, just specific bucket list trip for him. You know, as a dad, and you said it, Amy, one of your bucket list items is really a bucket list for your child. And what's better than that than just to see that rapture, that magic in their eyes when you're really completing their bucket list? Because as a parent, that's your bucket list, is to give them what they want. I would love to take each of them individually down and just be like, look, this is your trip. No questions asked. What do you want to do? We'll sit down, you plan it, and let's do it your way. I think those would both be incredible trips.
I have done that with both of my girls, and it And you're right. It is. It's great. And it's just fun because there's no bickering, you know, like that when they get to do what they want to do, it just ups the level of magic for them because they feel like, you know, this is about them. They're having like their moment. And it's just fun because you sit back and you just watch them have an amazing time. And that really reminds me of Jess from, you know, the Facebook group, you know, our friend who passed away last year. She had three kids. That was a way that she loved to use her points was she every year she did a trip with each one of them individually so that they could each have a special trip with mom. And I mean, in retrospect, so glad that she did that because they still have those memories. But even like living in the present with that, it's just so fun because your kids just feel like they're like delighted by the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about a kind of things that we wanted to do in one of the recent episodes. And I said that I really wanted to do that dessert party at California Grill. And I literally had it in my cart. I was ready to check out. I told Kathleen I was going to do it. You know, I'm going and going to be hanging out with Kathleen and Scott for a weekend in May. And it was going to fall on Mother's Day. And I was going to bring myself and check this off my bucket list as like a Mother's Day treat to myself. And ultimately, I ended up not doing it because I just kind of felt like, I don't know. I think that if I'm going to do it, that's something I'd rather do with somebody than do that by myself. I do a lot of things by myself. But from what I read, like you sit at a table, there's not a lot of mingling. So like I'll probably wait, maybe do that with my kids one year. But it's funny because when you have a bucket list and you have an opportunity to do it, are you going to pull the trigger? And that time I didn't pull the trigger, even though I had just said it was something that I wanted to do.
Well, we were joking before we started that one of my bucket list items was the Food and Wine Classic at Swan and Dolphin. And as soon as they announced the dates, we are pulling the trigger on that one. Scott and Kathleen already have a one bedroom. I managed to find someone to sponsor me into Shades of Green the night before. So it's going to be good times. Oh, sorry. Two bedroom. I forgot that they've upgraded us twice, which is why we're fighting over who's paying for the Food and Wine Classic tickets. But I'm going to win that battle.
I may have FOMO, but not bad that badly because that will probably overlap with one of my bucket list cruises with Emma. So I can't be that upset about it. But that is something that I want to do. It has been on my list for a while. That event is kind of annoying because in terms of timing for somebody who lives in New Jersey, because we always have Jersey week off and that always comes at the end of Jersey week. So we're like leaving or the weekend after Jersey week. So that's just something that I've never been able to make swing because when we go down, we would go down for the week before and never be able to make it work. So,
all right, for minor bucket list items, who wants to go in with me to get a plaid? Amy, you've already done it. I want to do a plaid trip. I mean, it's expensive. I don't know that I can justify it, but everyone I've spoken to that does it says it's an amazing experience. One of these days, I will just bite the bullet and we will get a plaid for the day.
I definitely want to do it again because like I shared on that episode where we talked about, you know, like the other, like the magical extras, my kids were little. So we kind of got to a point where they reached burnout and the fun was done. So, you know, I would like to be able to do it. I would love it if it was free again, but, you know, seeing that I'm divorced, I don't think that my ex-husband's going to throw any of his work perks my way anymore. But you never know.
It's weird because it's one of those things that is financially attainable. It's not cheap and it would sting, but it is something we could do. It's just not something I've been able to justify in my head in the past. I think if we got enough people together and it was a group I enjoyed spending time with, it would probably make a lot more sense in my head. But to just do it for a family of four, that's a big number.
Yeah, it definitely is. But you're right. It is attainable. That's not something that, you know, you'd say, I would never be able to do it. You just need to decide that that's how you're prioritizing spending your vacation money.
Did I tell you guys I got to check off a bucket list item when we went to Disneyland last May? I was determined that we were going to go to the merry-go-round at Griffith Park and see where Walt sat in his bench. And we got there. The whole merry-go-round was shut down. The fences were closed. It was clear that it had not been operating for a while. And we were walking around and my mother-in-law started talking to this woman on the other side of the gate. The woman was just making conversation. And my mother-in-law said, my son-in-law is a huge Disney fan. And we came here specifically because he wanted to see the merry-go-round and he wanted to see the bench. Turns out she was the owner of the merry-go-round. She unlocked the gate, said, "Don't tell anybody," let us in, and gave us a personal tour of the entire building. I have video of all the old merry-go-round horses. There's nobody else inside. The funniest thing is they have a bench in there that has a plaque on it that says this is the exact bench that Walt sat in when he visualized and imagined Disneyland. And you go into Disneyland, right where there's Mr. Lincoln, there's another identical green bench with an identical plaque that says this is the bench that Walt sat in. So there's two benches, apparently, that Walt sat in, one that she has and one that Disneyland has, and they're both claiming ownership to Walt's butt. That's it for your bucket list, guys? Nothing else?
I feel like there's, I mean, I would definitely do an adventure by Disney at some point. I think that that would be cool. And I think, you know, Disney owns the National Geographic expeditions. I think those sound amazing. So those are definitely things that, if given the chance, I would definitely do. I don't know how high they rank because I feel like you can get similar excursions elsewhere and also just book your own. So I'm not sure if I, you know, which route I will take in the future, but they do sound amazing. And the people who have done them have nothing but just amazing things to say about it because Disney takes care of every aspect of it, so you don't have to think at all. And I mean, that is nice. That sounds like vacation where you just show up and you're told where to go, which is typically not any of our experiences when we go to Disney World.
One of my best friends did the London and Paris ABD last year, and this is someone who has vacationed around the world with their children. They're a few years older than mine. They've seen a lot. They have taken all of the high-priced guided tours. They have been to Switzerland, all through Europe. You name it, they have done it. He said, without a doubt, it was far more expensive than any other guided tour or adventure they've ever taken. It was worth every penny. They would do it again. He has experience with all of them, and he said the ABD is just heads and tails better than anything else they've ever done. He said it was one of the most amazing experiences they've ever had.
I think especially if you're traveling with kids in that age range, because a lot of the things that you do in Europe or on, you know, these different excursions, they can be boring for kids. So Disney really does a lot of research into finding the things that are going to be engaging for the whole family so that everyone feels like this was fun and not just something where the kids feel like they're being dragged around from like museum to museum.
They run one domestically that is the West Coast trip that brings you through the studio, through the ranch, down to Disneyland. I would love to do that one because I want to do the walking in Walt's footsteps, but they actually have an ABD version of the whole West Coast story of Walt. That sounds like a really cool one for a history geek like me.
Yeah, that is a cool one. I mean, I think that the reality is there's so much that I would do, and there's so much to do in life that it's like, what am I going to prioritize? When am I going to do it? Because believe it or not, there are other things that I want to do too. I have like a big travel bucket list that extends well beyond the parameters of the Walt Disney Company. So
same here. We want to do the national parks. The kids are finally getting old enough. We want to take them to Europe. We want them to see some of the things that Emily and I have seen. We just keep going back to Disney because it's easy and it's attainable and they love it. But we're also hitting that point where we're going to have to start splitting our time a little bit. So there's a bucket list that's outside of Disney and there's the Disney bucket list, and trying to fill them all is time's getting tight, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm nearing the time where I'm going to have both of my kids in college, and then pretty soon both of my kids are going to be out of college. So that will definitely change things for me. And that's where I feel like the way that, you know, we had the episode where we talked about how we use our Disney Vacation Club membership. And that just really speaks to how, as you evolve and your needs change, the way that you use it changes. And that's where I could see that, you know, maybe one year I would just do a really long stay at Disney for, you know, in September, but then be able to travel, you know, in the spring someplace else, or, you know, or God forbid, rent my points out.
Well, you would need points left over to rent out. You can't rent the points you're going to borrow from next year.
I know. I would really need to like put a halt on my Disney travel, which I don't foresee happening, at least in the next 6 years. So
you've got time. You're young.
Ish.
Ish, exactly, ish.
Do you have anything else, Scott?
No, I think I listed everything that I could think of, and Phil and Amy, I think we're talking about some other things that I would really like to do, but I don't know. I think we kind of touched on everything that I was thinking about.
Except for you and I in the Grand Floridian lobby with ear flap, winter hats, and white bathrobes. That's a bucket list item. We've got to do the Cousin Eddie walk.
And now with Epcrocs.
Epcrocs.
I'm getting some bacon at Chef Mickey's. Will it be crispy?
Oh, that's a date. That's totally different.
Who's paying?
Bacon at Chef Mickey's?
Who's paying for that?
Is that a bucket list?
I thought it was a euphemism. I wasn't sure where she was going with that.
Alani, bacon at Chef Mickey's.
All right, does that wrap it up?
I think that wraps it up.
I think so, yeah.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for listening. Scott's giving me a funny look. No?
I just want to know what the bacon is at Chef Mickey's.
I think you and I were supposed to be having a date at Chef Mickey's because I said I wasn't going, and you and I were going to do a STD rating the bacon, weren't we?
Yeah, and then we had the conversation
floppy,
about...
Floppy and yes. Crispy.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, you're all looking at me like I'm crazy, okay, but I'm sorry. Like, did I imagine this conversation? Like,
no, it happened. Okay.
All right.
Phew. It did. I was completely drawing a blank about bacon at Chef Mickey's, but it all makes sense now.
So you're the one that has now talked all about biscuits in the oven on the last episode, so.
Don't put that song in my head again.
It's too late. All right, folks, well, that wraps it up for us. As always, thank you for listening. I noticed we actually do have 2 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. If we could make that 3, that would be even better. Then it's on to 4. So if you could take a minute, head on over to Apple, give us a 5-star review, some words of encouragement, help our shenanigans reach the masses. Amy?
Be sure to head over to Facebook and join the DVC Clubhouse Facebook group for some more shenanigans. We are just talking today about our Clubhouse weekend event that we're having in a few months. Follow us on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. And until next time, we'll DVC you real soon.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
See you guys.
And so our journey comes to an end.
Oh, no, please. Can't we go back to page one and do it all over again?
Started this thing together, and that's how we finish it.
Because that, my friends, is where the magic lives. Happily ever.